Were unable to attend. Okay, so welcome everyone. I'm pasting the agenda for today's meeting in the chat. So you're welcome to have a look at it if you haven't seen it before. And I've noticed that there are two new names that haven't attended the meeting before, John Baptiste and Kavindu. Why don't you very briefly introduce yourselves?
Maybe they're not really here.
I see that Jean-Baptiste switched on his mic. But maybe there are some connection issues. Oh. Yes, Jean-Baptiste, please go ahead.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jean-Baptiste Fankam Fankam from Cameroon. I'm a PhD student at the University of Yaoundé 1, and now I've already done all the things to defend my PhD, so I'm just waiting the schedule of my defense. I'm doing material science here with the procedure. It takes a long time, so this is why up to now I did not finish, but I think that in December later I can finish my defense. Okay, this so that's a bit about me.
Okay, yeah, that's great to hear, and welcome. We're very glad that you have joined the meeting. Kavindu, would you also introduce yourself, please?
Hello, sir. I'm Kavindu Sagindra, and I'm from Sri Lanka. I'm an advanced level student of Sri Lanka, and I love to know about that subject. So, because I join that Zoom meeting.
Yes, welcome. And we're also very glad that you have joined the meeting. Right, okay. So let's get started with the agenda points today. I again don't want to make it a long meeting, and basically just want to touch base with everyone and hear if there has been good developments in the past month since our previous meeting. So let's go to the second agenda point. I haven't received any apologies. I can just imagine that this is a very busy time of the year, so a lot of people have probably not been able to join us today. Any additions to the agenda? So any other matters that you would like us to discuss today? So at the moment, we have 4.1 letters of interest, 4.2 scope of biophysics research and education in Africa, 4.3 liaison with other working groups and societies, and 4.4, just a brief reflection on the African Light Source Conference combined with the African Physical Society Conference that took place last week. Any other points for discussion?
Do you want to keep the discussion of what how we respond to Tony Watts separate from the meeting or as a part of the meeting?
Yeah, that's maybe a good idea to make it part of the meeting. Yes, I think that's a good suggestion. So let's add that point. So it's basically a discussion of IUPAB's possible involvement. Okay, that's great. Okay, so let's make that point number 4.5. Right, any other topic that you would like to discuss? Okay, let's get to the first point. Unless Lawrence, you wanted to add anything?
No, I'm this is all good.
Okay, great. Okay, let us off interest. So I checked this morning because I wanted to send some information to Trevor, who's currently working on an LOI. And then I noticed that there are just over 20 LOIs for all the working groups together, which is quite concerning. So it would have been nice to have 20 LOIs just for the biophysics working group alone. Yeah, so this is again an encouragement to everyone to write letters of interest. I've already submitted one. I'm thinking of submitting a second one. If you have any ideas about key strategic areas of biophysics research that Africa must invest in, so in other words, how you see the vision for Africa, how Africa must invest in biophysics research, please put these ideas down on paper. So the original submission deadline and the one that is still on the website is the end of November, the 30th of November, which is very imminent. But since these LOIs are going to be discussed at the ACP conference, so that's the African Conference of Fundamental and Applied Physics, it's taking place the 7th to the 11th of March next year. This in principle means that we have a couple more months to get our letters of interest together. So, in other words, Kativi has told me that this deadline is going to be to be moved on, I guess by 2 months or so. So it's good that next week is not the final deadline for this. There's more time to get ideas together. And I'm also planning, so I haven't had the time to do that yet, to put together a one-page proposal so that we can distribute that amongst our networks. I know that previous time we have discussed this. For example, Trevor, if you could then also advertise amongst the START network, I know that such a one-page proposal would be quite helpful for that. So I will try to get this done as soon as possible. So this was about the letters of interest. Any questions or comments about this?
Yes, I did have difficulty when I tried to engage with this. So it seemed to me from your letter of interest that you put in the directory that you were describing your involvement in a field.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so is that what you want to do? You wanted everybody to describe what field they're involved in.
Well, not necessarily that. So it could be either your own field of research, or it could be another field of research you would like to see growth in, investment in. This is how I understood it. At least you can best write a letter of interest on a topic that is most familiar to you. So it would make sense to write a letter of interest on your own research field, but then broadly speaking, and then choosing an area you think would be important for politicians and stakeholders to invest into. So for that reason, the topic I've chosen was quantum biology, because I think this is a good topic to invest in, but I would obviously give very, very strong support to the further development of structural biology, and I'm sure that you and others would like to write on that. That is at least how I see it. I think people might have different ideas about it, but I think the idea is that we should just, whatever ideas you have, put it on paper, and then that will be discussed at a later point.
Okay. It's a pretty non-directed task, though. This is the thing that's disturbing about it. I mean, who are you addressing it to, and what would the people that receive it do with it?
Well, okay. So, who are the people who are going to receive these letters? Basically, any one of us who would be interested in converting these letters into white papers. So, this includes me and the two other co-conveners of this working group. And if you're interested, Trevor, you can also be involved with that. So, there are actually very, very few instructions on this, very, very free format. And I think the idea was that there's liberty to write basically anything and then to let this develop into to any sort of white paper.
But we do have a white paper on structural biology. We have we have tons of information about structural biology.
Okay. Well, I guess then in that case, we don't have to duplicate the work.
dating back to 2002, with respect to synchrotron science, we've got a complete roadmap. So there's a huge amount of stuff. The only thing that we perhaps don't have, which is a fairly recent thing, is a description of some sort of cryo-EM center that we should certainly move. So that might be, I mean, if we could add, perhaps we could add that. And I've already said to Sakazi that I would describe such a center as a component of the motivation for the African light source. But I mean, I think my own opinion is that the timescale of implementation of a cryo-EM center needs to be quite rapid. Now, especially if we're busy trying to make protein-based vaccines against all sorts of stuff, we desperately need to move that forward.
But Trevor, could you share some of these white papers with me? And then I would suggest that, well, we don't have to duplicate the work. If we already have white papers and there's like no copyright or anything like that, we could then take these over, maybe update some of the information or add some more recent information to those white papers. Because this is the idea that the letters of interest are going to convert into white papers later. So, I mean, if we already have the white papers, then we don't have to spend time writing the letters that will again be converted into the white papers.
I could certainly do that. I certainly, that's easy enough to find that. And Wolf Dieter and I spent hours in his house in Pretoria putting it together. If I can't find it in my files, he should be able to find it.
Okay. Yeah, well, this will be excellent. This will really be excellent. And yeah, if you would like to write a letter on the cryo-EM, especially now during the current pandemic, everyone must realize the importance of experimental facilities like this.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I will write something about cryo-EM.
Okay. Wonderful. Good. But it's great to hear about these white papers that are available. Other comments or questions? Lawrence, I see you have switched on your mic. Did you want to add anything?
Yes. So I think I agree that in general, we have to extend the deadlines. And there's this issue that maybe I'm not speaking, maybe out of turn, but Katevi can help me with this issue, was that there was supposed to be some of an agreement between ASFAP and AFLS in terms of sharing the submission process for LOIs. Katevi, are you there?
I don't think Katevi is there. He sent me a private message that he won't stay long.
Okay. Well, I won't get into it, but I think the idea was that the ASFAP LOI intake process, and ASFAP has a light sources working group. And then the AFLS is using more or less the same process for its CDR, for our CDR. And I guess they wanted to combine some efforts. Maybe the ASFAP steering committee had reached out to Simon to sort of combine some effort. Make a long story short, I guess our feeling is that the AFLS has to reach out to communities well outside of physics. And it just won't make sense to sort of ask like a immunologist that's interested in structural biology to contribute to a physics process. Our feeling was that they just won't do it. So we felt that we being the AFLS executive committee felt like the two processes should continue separate and parallel, but always in collaboration. Mm-hmm. So we'll send ASFAP what we have, and we'll send the others what we have. But I think within the AFLS, we are trying to actually instigate ASVAB-like processes in other fields. So I don't know what the chemists would call it. I don't know what biochemists would call it, but let's call it ASVAB for chemistry and ASVAB for biochemistry and so on. So I think in that regard, I guess in the final analysis, the sort of combining as the ASVAB steering committee sort of envisioned it, likely will not work. I think we just won't do it. Now, that gets on to the maybe the next agenda item, if you don't mind, the liaison with working groups and societies.
We are done with the first item. The scope
of as it relates to biophysics, if you noticed at the AFLS conference, we had this structure of co-organizers and co-conveners. Mm-hmm. So the difference between a co-organizer and a co-convener worked out to who put up cash and who didn't to help pull off the conference. It worked. I mean, I didn't think we got as many papers from co-conveners that I thought we would, contributions for speakers and posters, but it was a respectable amount. So that means that we have sort of open ears at our sister societies, the FASCHEM, this molecular biologist and biochemist, and on down the road, and the immunologist. Actually, had an inclined ear. I think we will just have to, not for them, they didn't know anything about ASVAB, right? And I sense we're not interested in learning a whole lot more about ASVAB, because it was just so far afield from where they are. So we have a lot of work to do. And I'm not even altogether sure we'll be able to complete it by March in terms of socializing this LOI process, at least as it relates to ASVAB, with those groups. Because my conversations with them with respect to the conference and even after the conference last week was not something that they had tuned into. So, That's my two cents there. And I have is a ASVAB working group on light sources. It had always been my two cents that should have been expanded to be a working group for to capture like the Safari 2 neutron center, scattering center, and also the two big computing centers, the one in South Africa and the one in Morocco. So, things that require large, large capital investments. But that's just my two cents. But I think, and it has its disadvantages, but I think probably what we should do is talk about large and even get specific in some cases. Like I'm working on a LOI, or it might be long enough to be an LOI now, for a multi-photon spectroscopy beamline. So this is like a, and actually I was working on this with Sesame because I wanted to call it the Ahmad's Whale Molecular Dynamics Beamline. And so this would be the idea is to zap with one color photon and come follow it with another color photon, see what dynamics you can get. And you can do that for proteins, of course, but also semiconductors. So, all right, so that's all, I'll stop there.
Thanks, Lawrence. That sounds very interesting. Thank you for your contributions. So any other comments? Any other questions on this? Okay, let's briefly discuss further the second point, the scope of biophysics research and education in Africa. So I was informed by Calvin, Pofu, and Leonardo Lucina that they've tried to get in touch with this Professor Anastasios Pouris at the University of Pretoria. And Leonardo has been able to get some response from him, and I just have to follow up on that. So that is the status at the moment. There has not been very much progress yet, but we have been able to get some response from him. So yeah, hopefully that can soon develop into some useful information that we can obtain. And then I also have to get in touch with John Mugabe at the University of Pretoria. And yeah, still I haven't been able to do it yet, but that is something I'll try to do within the next week. So just to get the ball rolling. Okay, have there been any other developments on trying to gather information on biophysics research and education in Africa? So yeah, Lawrence, you have mentioned some information from arising from last week's AFLS conference. So that's also very useful to hear. Trevor, anything you wanted to add?
Yes, I would. On, I think it was Tuesday this week, we had a meeting at the University of Cape Town to discuss how we were going to proceed with biophysics teaching. Mm-hmm. The issue arose mainly due to me reaching retirement age. And the question was, how do they replace my skill in presenting the material, or at least my, yeah, whatever. And the answer was that there were two impediments to replacing me. The one was finding an appropriate person, which was a lesser problem. And the other was finding a person of one of the designated groups. So the policy at the University of Cape Town is to employ people of designated groups. And if you can't find a person in a particular field in the designated group, then you can't present, you don't have a person to present the discipline. And I thought that the only way around this is actually to find people from elsewhere and then beam them in via Zoom. So we need to have in general to create a network of people that are willing to conduct courses at African universities and engage with students irrespective of where they are. So we need to create online courses, MOOCs, if you like, in biophysics. And I think also, I've had this discussion previously with Frances Saparovich, and she's quite keen that this should emerge out of IUPAB, but there's nobody actually prepared to sit down and do the work. I don't know how dedicated we are as a group to actually trying to get something like this going. That's all I want to say.
Yeah, thank you, Trevor, for the suggestion. I would say in principle, this is an excellent idea, although presenting online courses and engagement with students by online platforms cannot replace people who are physically present. We also need people who are physically present, well, excellent biophysicists who can engage with students like this. But I think we have learned from the pandemic that we have to embrace hybrid approaches. We definitely have to embrace more of all the digital technologies that are at our disposal. So definitely, this is definitely something that must be done. And something I'm pretty sure that we can also think of developing further.
Well, if you arrange a course like this, at least the students have some access to the biophysics material, and they have access to mentors. You can have people locally who are not experts in biophysics, but at least have an interest, and they can monitor the students' activities and make sure that there's somebody to crack the whip and get assignments in on time and show some interest, even if they're not responsible for compiling the material and presenting it. At the moment, for example, the EMBO courses are all being presented remotely. And even there, I was quite impressed with the CCP4 workshop that we organized earlier this year, about the extent to which the lecturers were able to engage with the students using the technology available to them. So even with Zoom, we used Zoom and Slack basically as the primary tools. And it was amazing how intimate an engagement was possible.
I believe you. Well, I've also experienced it myself. This is really the way to go in the future. When it comes to courses that carry credits, then obviously this is something that has to be universities have to be approached and they have to be open to be able to accommodate such courses where students can earn credits. If students don't earn credits for participating in courses, then it's obviously much easier to arrange. Then it's almost like a school or a workshop, and almost everyone can sign up for that. But yeah, I agree with you. This is the way to go, and we should really, really, really seriously look into this.
At University of Pretoria, how much resistance is there to having courses that are online courses conducted by people elsewhere?
Well, if it's not part of our syllabus, we have to make it part of our syllabus in order for students to earn credits on this. And so you have to plan this 3 years in advance, because it has to be discussed by the sort of a certain committee, and then it has to get in the academic yearbook. So it's basically a cycle of 3 years. That could be
that's fine. I mean, but if we actually launch the concept, if you go and chat to your dean and say to him or her, this is what we're interested in doing, would you go with it? And then Wolf Dieter could find his mates, and you can find your mates, and we can get it done. We can get something on the program that South African students or African students can engage with and will enable them to learn biophysics, which is better than having nothing at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an excellent suggestion.
There are people who do have online courses. So Toyin gave a talk on her pandemic teaching. I don't know if you remember her talk from the Biophysics Week conference.
There are plenty of online courses, but they're not being offered as a component, as a mixed mode delivery component of a degree at a South African university. So a student is going to come to University of Pretoria, for example, and they're going to take a BSc in biophysics and biochemistry. University of Pretoria has no biophysics teacher because Chart got run over by a bus. But they can then recruit the skill without replacing him, or at least they can recruit the skill in the short term if such a program has been well developed and you have actually participated in the development of it. So I mean, I think it makes the whole thing much more robust and sustainable. And that's the argument that I have to face at the University of Cape Town. How are they going to sustain the employment of a professor in biophysics? And, you know, there's just not a post available apart from anything else. Well, there's a professorial post available, but they've decided to fill it with two people at a lower level.
So, and there's no sort of interest in appealing or waiving whatever requirement that it be a person of interest group.
It's absolutely not possible.
Even with this new development of funding.
No, well, it may happen. Well, it may happen. I mean, certainly people get employed, but they're not employed as the university teachers.
Got it. Well, so there are online courses, and there are people that South Africa can go after. There are people here in the United States that I know that are on the job market that probably do not necessarily contemplate leaving the United States, which I find interesting. This is actually something very and I'm not sure all of those people who are on the job market will actually get jobs in the United States. So I think something has to be like kind of, and maybe as a, like a Black American qualify as a interest group for?
No, they're foreign.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That's like affirmative action on steroids.
Lawrence, there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, okay. But, well, I guess.
But we can use technology to make a decent program, and we can bring people in virtually.
Yeah, I guess if I had to make an exception to something, I would rather make an exception and hire a person not in the group of interest than trying to think you can teach all of structural biology by virtualness. You got to learn how to break a couple of pipettes and stuff.
No, that won't happen. I mean, what will happen, we'll still have a lab, we'll still have a more junior person that will be supervising the students and coordinating the course and keeping, you know, bringing the lectures in and collating and coordinating the submission of examinations and distributing them for marking. We'll still have all of the normal activities. We'll have labs set up with the advice of all the people that are involved by remotely. So all of that can still happen. There's nothing that can't happen, except that you don't have to hire a really top-notch person to deliver the course.
Okay, yeah, well, that still leaves the fate of the Aaron Kloop Center to up for discussion, doesn't it?
Well, my idea on that is to come, well, I will write my idea on that in the expression of interest, the letter of interest or whatever it's called.
Okay, all right.
Excellent. Yeah, but Trevor, we must have a discussion with Walt Dieter about it. Also, how to do something similarly at the University of Pretoria.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, and we could combine forces. I mean, we could all sit together and you know, bash our heads against the wall. Then we could have a virtual department.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, why not?
I could be your virtual vice chancellor.
Lawrence, you've got big ambitions. What are you going to bring to the party?
Show up at the I'll read your letters of more funding and show up at the press conference about it.
Okay, good.
And you will approve virtual funding to Trevor.
Right. Yeah, right.
Okay, right. Let's move on to the third point, liaison with other working groups and societies. Has there been any progress on that? I remember that Kayode wanted to connect with Emmanuel D and also with Lawrence. Kayode, have you been able to do this, and has been any progress in that regard?
Yeah, I've not contacted him back because he said he's on holiday the last time I checked. So I think if he's back, he should be able to contact me, or I will write a letter back to him this week to know if he's available.
Yeah, I think just follow up with him and you can CC me so that I can also keep track of.
Right. So I talked to Emmanuel last Saturday. He's got a very difficult work situation currently, but he is moving to a professorship in Kenya.
Oh, okay.
I want to say in March maybe. But yeah, he does have a position in Kenya, but is open to other offers, Trevor. So we'll see. But yeah, anyway, Kayode, he might be a little difficult to connect with for the next several months.
Okay, yeah, thanks for that.
Okay, so we're talking about 4.3, are we?
Yes, that's right, yes.
Okay, so did you get, were you on the circulation list for Paul Capo's letter about the various appointments that have been made to the Federation of African Societies of Biochemistry and Molecular Biology?
Are you asking me, Trevor? No, I have not received any information on that.
So Paul is now president of the FASBMB, okay. And Iqbal Parker is now president of the International Union of Molecular Biology.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both our friends for the biophysics. So that's those are both important. And Paul is very enthusiastic about having a biophysics component in FASBMB meetings. And he has honored that. So it has happened. And of course the IU, I think it's called the IUMB or something, has always been promoting biophysics.
Okay, yeah, well, that's excellent to hear. So how would you suggest that we liaise with them?
Well, I think we could make them aware of our working group. I think we could write them a letter. And say to them that we would like to be, and the following people would like to be included in the mailing list. And how about that? That's no skin up their nose. And then see what comes of it, just as a networking opportunity.
Okay, sure. We can definitely do that. Yeah, let me then follow up on this.
I will send you the letter that was sent around from the SASBMB.
Okay, that would be great. Thanks, Trevor. Good. So last week there was a meeting by the Instrumentation and Detection Working Group to assess the needs of the SFAP physics community. So I haven't been able to attend that meeting. Lawrence, have you been at that meeting? And do you think that there would be some opportunities to connect with them?
Yes, because there was a lot of biomaterials interest.
Oh, okay.
And it was, it ranged from sort of molecular materials, fundamental understanding of materials on a molecular level. So I would say structural material science, if that's a word. to you know, very engineering, final device manufacturing type stuff, which we might even call industrial biotechnology.
Okay, that's excellent. So besides this expression of interest by different people, different groups, is there anything that we can gain from this? Or should we, what do you suggest? Should we get in touch with them and also tell them about our needs, some specific needs that we might have?
Yeah, I think we probably should arrange for sort of a joint meeting somehow. Timing would be a challenge. We could make it part of the Biophysics Week meeting if we are doing that. I guess that was one thing I wanted to add onto the agenda. Are we actually, I mean, people were interested in doing that again from the survey, from the one we did just this March. But we could try to put biomaterials explicitly on the program. You know, you have to go out and like cajole people to actually submit an abstract. yeah, I think there's probably a lot of overlap there. Also with the light sources working group, when it comes to experimentation, you know, what kind of beamlines are we talking about? And it might be something with there's like a computing working group too. So kind of the theoretical spectroscopy, sort of theoretical structure detection, that might be interesting too. Even all these like machine learning driven predictions.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'll stop there.
Yeah, well, in fact, we can find overlap with, I would say, most of the other working groups, just because the scope of biophysics is extremely broad. I think the best would be that, let's see what letters of interest we receive, and then it will be, I guess, obvious to find overlaps with other working groups. So if someone is focused on more computational type of biophysics, then obviously the overlap with the computing group will be very strong. If someone is working on biomaterials, then overlap with the materials group is very strong. But it's very good to hear that there was a lot of interest in biomaterials during this meeting last week. Okay, I've added the Biophysics in Africa conference as another agenda point, so that we can also briefly discuss that and decide whether we would still like to run that next year. Let's just finish with the other agenda points. So anything else about point 3, 4.3?
No.
Okay, let's move on to the next point. So the AFLS conference that took place last week. And Lawrence, could you give us very quick feedback on that, please?
I thought it was a pretty good pretty good conference. It came off fairly well. I mean, I was sort of the man behind the curtain in the sort of control seat, but even in a world where, you know, there was a fair amount of no-shows, people submitted abstracts to give talks, didn't show. I mean, I feel like, you know, people have all kind of connectivity issues. So like some of the people who did show, their connectivity was so horrible, you kind of wish they didn't show. Because I find all that static stuff gives me a headache. But if you look at the quality of the work being done, I thought it was, you know, pretty good. Everyone's presentation is that I felt like this is ridiculous. So a lot of good young people. Of course, the African Crystallographic Association kicked off, had a lot of nice, very nice talks in structural biology. So I thought everything worked out well. I think we are, for 2022, basically going to do it the same way. I feel like an in-person meeting, all that international travel will not be a thing for two reasons, just money and just this pandemic will not be resolved. So it's going to be very difficult to, there were 500 registrants. And, you know, so given that, let's say that it reduces down to 300 when you're talking about having to go to a physical place, that's still a lot of money to have to raise. And if we're talking about doing this like 360 days from now, we should probably have some large percentage of it, you know, now, which we don't have. So I think it'll follow more or less the same formula. And I think and we'll approve around the edges. So I think that's where that thing is.
Okay, great. Yeah, that sounds good, Lawrence. And I agree, if you could make it again a virtual meeting next year, or at least a hybrid meeting, then you would attract really a lot more people, because as you know, funds is the main limitation in Africa. So that's really great.
So, yeah, so we can, now that we sort of know how to do this, you can almost like make a meeting happen fairly quickly, right? So even if we wanted to have a specific biomaterials in Africa meeting, you could do that. It doesn't even have to be a full conference. It could be just like a day of lectures or whatever. Mm. But we know how to make it all work, from the registration process in Indico to scheduling to Zoom. You know, it doesn't, I mean, this is just like almost something like a pack, something you can pull out of a box and poof, you have at least that part of the infrastructure. The hard part is always just dealing with people, just, you know, getting them to submit submitting an abstract and then hoping that they actually come and give a talk, that, you know, connectivity or whatever other issues doesn't take them away from the engagement.
Lawrence, can I ask a question?
Yes.
How many people gave talks on structural biology that were not part of the START program?
I will take that down for analysis. I don't have anything off the top of my head.
I didn't see any, actually.
That were not part of START?
Yeah.
Well, there was those senior people that... yeah, there was
Richard Garrett. I mean, but you can't
hear it. There was one of the other plenaries. There was the coronavirus structural task force talk.
Yes, and I didn't think that was a very good talk.
I thought. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
I thought Tandek's talk was much better, but yes, that's true. There were the invited lecturers, but of contributed papers that came from African authors that were not part of the START program.
We were a little light there, as we discussed. Yeah, I thought that there would be more talks in that regard.
Okay.
Can we move on to the next points? So the one suggested by Trevor to add, and that is, how do we want to envision IUPAB's involvement with SFAP now specifically, but we could make it more general. How would we like to see AUPAB help us to develop biophysics in Africa? So, Trevor, maybe you can just give a little bit of background about who is IUPAB, and Tony, then the president at the moment, if I understand correctly.
Okay, IAPAB is the International Union of Pure and Applied Biophysics. They have supported us in the past by providing, they have 10,000 euro startup grants for workshops and meetings. So it certainly doesn't cover the full cost of a meeting or a workshop by any means, but at least gives you a basis. And then they obviously will brand it and advertise it on their websites. They also have regular meetings and they have regular workshops in this program of the workshops that they organize. They have a journal, which is called Reviews in Biophysics. They have large international meetings once every 3 years. Oh, hang on. Oh, I'm being phoned. I can't do it. Carl, I'm on the telephone. I mean, on the Zoom meeting. Yeah. Okay. So so that's the situation, is that they're a big organization. They have a lot of clout in the world. They're an excellent place for networking. And I think that it's a good idea to ask them for something. Their previous president has suggested that we set up a series of virtual workshops in various subjects covering the whole of biophysics. But the funding has never been provided for that. But it's something that we could move forward with if we were really interested. And I think that kind of thing would be a benefit to Africa. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. So when it comes to membership fees, so what type of membership do they have and how much is it?
Well, at the present time, it's about 50,000 Rand for a single boat membership. And that's being funded by the SAIP at the moment. There still.
Where are they in the next Congress? I know the 2023, I think this chap told me over Twitter from the BSJ that it's moved to 2024.
Is it not going to be in Japan?
Japan, yes.
Well, yes, in Japan.
But they decided to move it to 2024. Am I hearing that correctly?
No. We had the one in Brazil. We just had the one in Brazil, which all African delegates were allowed to register for free.
Yeah.
So you could attend the Brazilian conference without payment, and you could listen to the lectures and participate in the discussions and go into the meeting rooms and network. It was quite well organized. It was quite a good virtual conference.
Okay.
Right. So what would we like to ask IUPAB? Discounts for membership, funding and support for setting up workshops in Africa, so these are then online workshops, I suppose.
Yes, I think, okay, so we could definitely ask those. I can tell you one other thing, that they've appointed, who's the fellow at Benda? Shonai. Adi Shonai. He is one of the editors of Biophysical Reviews.
Okay.
So they approached him and he accepted the being an editor of Biophysical Reviews.
So I guess to come back to the question I asked, where are they in the selection of their 3-year conferences?
I think the next two conferences have been allocated.
So 2026 and 2029.
I think there's only one applicant for the one after Japan. I think it's one, it's a town in Germany. In Cologne. Anyway, it's one of the German cities has put their name forward. I think there can still be some debate on it, because I think it will only be awarded at the next conference. But the one that was awarded this conference was the one in Japan.
Do we want to go through the process of submitting a bid again?
I think that we are not a mature enough country to actually compete with the other potential cities for
That might actually be the point. I mean, we were very close last time around, right?
Yeah. I'm not sure that we could have pulled it off under the circumstances. We certainly couldn't have pulled it off the same way that the Brazilians did. Although we might have. I don't know.
Let's keep thinking about that. I'll try to find the letter I got from the Biophysical Society of Japan about some movements that they decided about the 2023 conference. I thought, I'll have to reread it, but what I remember was that, here it is right here. In the same fashion, the 2023 IUBAB conference, due to be held in Kyoto in June 2023, is now postponed to similar dates in 2024. And they published this letter actually in Biophysical Reviews. So this is not idle gossip. Here, I'll put it in the chat.
Yeah, but if they just had the one in 2021 because the Brazil was delayed, they obviously have to delay the one in Kyoto.
Right. Do they ever want to get back one cycle, or is this like a new cycle? So the cycle was displaced by 1 year forever?
I guess so.
So now we're talking about
2027.
And that is the one you think that the Cologne, Germany is the only bidder.
Is there any bidder at the present time, yes.
And we have until 2024 to make a decision as to whether or not we submit a bid.
Yeah.
I understand the energy dynamics here, but this is the kind of stuff that animates ministries when they feel like they can make tourism dollars out of the whole thing.
Yeah, but if it's going to be virtual, it's not going to be. We'll see. I don't know.
We'll see. Yeah, that's the thing. If it's committed to making it virtual, then there's really no impediment to not submitting a bid.
Yeah, except other countries are trying to make it real. We'll see.
Japan pulled a hell of a thing to, I won't call it a trick, but it was a hell of a thing in order to win the bid last time around, right?
They were amazing.
I told Phil Majar about what happened. I told them that we actually had the superior bid, except for the $1 million from the government part.
I'm not sure about that either.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Anyway.
Okay, so that's okay. So can you and I chart? Write a response to Tony Watts.
Sure, definitely.
Okay.
So how do you want to tackle this? Would you like to write the draft?
I think we more or less got an agreement between ourselves. We just got to put in words.
Okay. So basically what we would like to ask them is financial support mainly in the form of discounts for memberships, membership fees, and also for setting up workshops. But online workshops are not supposed to be expensive. So do we actually have to pay for them?
It depends if you want to buy an organizer. Lawrence comes free, right? but the thing is, it's not that, it's the actual organization having them so if we prepare to devote our time to putting it together, and then we can get materials supplied by other people, and so the students can actually access interesting and useful workshops. So we'd have to get some commitment from the organization to actually put this together, and they'd have to go to their members and see if their members are prepared to actually contribute.
That's the main thing.
Mainly their time, not money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll send some emails as to like what are some good asks for, you know, sort of that small organizations can ask big organizations. Yeah, to sort of make it part of their own interest. Like, it would be interesting to know how many African universities are subscribers to Biophysical Reduce. And the implications is we want to broaden your reach of your product, which has, you know, downstream vicarious benefits to us.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion. That's something else we could ask. They must have the numbers.
Yeah, that's something in general we should ask all of the big publishers, the commercial ones and the, you know, non-profit professional society ones, like IOP and I don't know who else.
Okay, excellent. So, Trevor, do you want to draft something and then I add to that, or how do you see it?
Okay, let's start the ball rolling like that. I'll write that on my list of jobs to do.
Excellent. Right, this sounds very good. Okay, can we move on to the last point? We've discussion about the Biophysics in Africa conference, whether we would like to run that again next year. I was wondering, in light of the SAIP conference next year, that would like to focus strongly on biophysics. So in light of that, maybe we could decide to skip the Biophysics in Africa conference and then focus on that again in 2023. Otherwise, there will be two conferences like 3 or 4 months apart where, well, at least I will be strongly involved with some organization for the SAIP conference. And I'm going to have a meeting with Brian Massara and some others from the steering committee next week. And then I'll hear exactly what they have in mind. But they wanted us to organize a biophysics winter school. And there will also be an industry day during the conference where they also wanted to have strong biophysics elements. So that's for the SAIP conference next year in July. So in light of that, Lawrence, do you still want to go ahead with the Biophysics in Africa conference?
On one hand, very much yes, because I like to establish traditions. But I get that, you know, there's only so much juice in all of us, right? So the question becomes, and I know, for instance, that Emmanuel will not be available to help with the Biophysics Week conference this year. For me, I know I can pull it off because, like I said, we know how to do all of this marketing and emailing and the Zooming and all that, the Indico. I mean, I know how to do all that.
Yeah,
there's people out there in the world that we could connect with. to, there's always more people to bring into our orbit.
Definitely, yeah, yeah. Well, if we decide to go ahead, we have to start now, I would say.
Right.
Because it's in 4 months' time, that's really right. Short for organizing conference. This year, for this year's conference, we started much too late. And yeah, there were some aspects that haven't been that well organized, and yeah, everything was really rushed at the end.
Right. So we have the Indico site already for 2022. It's already set up. You just clone the 2021 site, just clone it. And you know, we just have to change the dates and the text and the graphics, and the site could be ready to go. I think as far as number of talks go, you know, for me to declare victory, it doesn't have to be like talks all day, right? Even if we just did a few a day, or even if we just did the conference one day out of the week, I would say, you know, declare victory. That's one thing I've learned in the working for the United States Navy is, no matter what happens, declare victory. That's our motto. So that's my feeling. That's my feeling. And then use that to even develop interest in the other events. This other conference is in like what, July? Yes,
end of July, I think. Yes.
Yeah. So we can use the March events to create interest for the July events.
Mm. Yeah, that's also a good suggestion. Okay, so Lawrence, why don't we go ahead with a conference and then make it a 2-day conference? One day focus on structural biology, the second day focus on whatever other topics we get abstracts for.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. Let's go along with that and see how many people we can get to contribute.
Yeah, because I like the idea of Lawrence that we will want to establish a tradition. So we definitely don't have to try and fill in a full week of talks. That will be very difficult, especially if we start to advertise now. But yeah, even if it's just 2 days, I'm sure we'll have enough talks to cover most of 2 days. And then we can start to establish a tradition in this way. And hopefully in the future, this conference will be able to grow more to 3 days, 4 days, later a full week.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Are we done?
Right.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Anything we have left out? Any comments to make? Okay. If not, I would like to thank everyone for their participation. And do we want to meet again? So I haven't suggested an agenda. A possible date for our next meeting. Maybe it would be good to get together in January, end of January. That will give us 2 months.
Yeah.
Okay, right. So let me see, the last Friday of January, 28th of January. So let's then get together on the 28th of January, same time. And then we can again touch base with everyone. Hopefully there will be a lot of new developments by then.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much
for everyone. All right. Thanks.
Okay. Take care, everyone.
All right. We'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.
Happy Christmas.
Bye.